Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, I said everybody's getting those mock drafts in.
I'm working on mine now.
I know you're working on your. Have yours done by Friday morning. Thursday. That would be great. Yep. And you're going to look really smart.
I feel like I'm going to at least get 30 right.
Well, Omar Kelly's got his ready to go from the Sun Sentinel. He joins us this morning. Omar, good morning. How you doing?
I'm good, Joe. How are you? Good morning, Zach.
We're hanging in there, man. Omar, we're getting ready and trying to figure out what's going to happen. We saw you did one of yours as well as some of the things for representing South Florida and some other stuff that's been out there saying you believe that the Miami Dolphins will take Derwin James, FSU safety, or that's who you like the most at that position.
That's not who I like the most. That's who, based on my mock draft, I was in position to pick because he's one of the six elite players in this draft, in my opinion, and he really would help this defense because what they lack is a center fielder, a guy who can play free safety. Rashad Jones and T.J. McDonald, they're both the same thing. They're both in the box safeties who are pretty interchangeable. They're good in terms of bringing physicality to the game, and sometimes, you know, TJ McDonald can be a playmaker and bring you those turnovers and certainly force some fumbles, but in terms of protecting the back end of the defense, being the last line of defense, I don't think that that's the strength of his game. And what I would do is if I would draft Derwin James and I would move T.J. McDonald to the linebacker position, have him play in the nickel package along with Kiko Alonso. And to me, that would take this defense to the next level.
Well, if T.J. McDonald can't cover from a safety position, why do you think he can cover from a linebacker position?
Well, I think it's a little bit different. I think when you're closer to a safety like, let's say, Travis Kelce, and you're at the line of scrimmage and you could be a little bit more physical with him, I think that that's a help. But asking him to cover him while the linebacker's already got a full head of steam, running downfield, I think it's a little bit more challenging. And really, my concern was, does he have the speed to recognize something and go get it after the play is already developed? And I just don't think he had the speed and change of directions to do that as a free safety. Now, I think he's a good, strong safety. The problem is Rashad Jones already plays that. And we know that, you know, based on the history of Rashad Jones, his entire career, him being that center fielder in the back end, that's not his game.
Well, you and I disagree a little bit on this, but the thing, I'll just get to on this. So you want to move T.J. McDonald to a nickel linebacker position after game 4-year, $24 million, along with everything else. You're basically telling me that T.J. McDonald can't play safety.
No, he can play strong safety, and he can be the in-the-box safety.
Safeties are you going to go around playing? Bobby McCain's playing nickel, so help me out.
Okay, Bobby McCain's playing nickel. Understand that the money financially, the Dolphins have more invested in their safeties last season than they do this season because they had Nate Allen for $3 million. Now, T.J. McDonald, while he was given a contract, he's only making $1.5 million this season. It's an amazing deal for the Dolphins. Next season is when the money escalates a little bit, and it's still cheaper than what you would have been paying, let's say, a Lawrence Timmons. So, you know, I don't think it stops Miami in any way from addressing the safety position. That was something that all of them, GM, general manager Chris Greer and Adam Gase, basically acknowledged that, hey, we didn't like what we saw last season from those two safeties. So why wouldn't you address it if you didn't like the way that they worked together?
I'm just not sure if T.J. McDonald – well, I take it a step further. I know T.J. McDonald, if he can't cover, and we saw no signs he could cover last year, that all of a sudden you're going to put him close to the line of scrimmage and a running back, one of these pass-receiving running backs, going to come out of the backfield, Omar, and give him a two-way go, he's done. He's toast.
So
you talk about run.
What linebacker do you think is going to cover the Carolina back on the two-way go better than a guy who's a little bit more fluid and athletic than T.J. McDonald?
I'd just rather have a true outside linebacker at that point. I don't know if Edmonds or Smith are one of those guys that you like in that position, but because I'm worried I'm also worried about T.J. McDonald getting blocked. It's one thing to when you're playing deep and all of a sudden you got big guys blocking you. It's a little different. He hasn't been doing that his whole career, getting off those blocks.
Actually, he has played in the box. He has played in the box his whole career. He's dealt with those blocks. I'm not saying that it's going to be an easy transition, but a lot of safeties are now playing as linebackers in the NFL. There are at least four teams doing exactly what I proposed. And in fact, when T.J. McDonald was with the Rams, he played in that role when they drafted LaMarcus Joyner. So it's not like I'm saying he's doing something foreign that he's never done. He's actually done it.
Omar, what's the most glaring need on this team right now? With that 11th pick in the draft, would it be linebacker if there's someone there?
Absolutely, linebacker. If Roquan Smith is there, to me, that's the home run for this draft in terms of helping my team immediately get better. Now, obviously, Baker Mayfield, there's an obsession with him, but I think he's actually going to go to the Jets with number 3. And I'm not comfortable with the Dolphins trading as much as they would need to trade to get up to the Giants pick at number 2. If you really think about it and take an educated guess, Buffalo wants to get up there as well to be able to be in position to select a quarterback or select whichever of the 4 they want. And they already have 2 first-round picks. So let's say Buffalo's offering up 2 first-round picks to the Giants. That means the Dolphins, they have to trump that. They have to do better, which to me would be the equivalent of offering next year's first-round pick and probably a second this year or a second next year.
Omar, how quickly do you take a tight end if you're the Dolphins in this draft? Second round?
Second or third. It depends on who's there. I like the South Dakota tight end. There's certainly some good athletic tight ends, but none of them are really going to address what you need, which is an inline blocker. But I would take one of the athletic tight ends instead of one of the guys experienced with doing the inline stuff, just because I want the superior athlete, and I could ultimately, hopefully, teach him to block. I think talking to people in the league, there's an evolution going on right now in the NFL just because of how underdeveloped some of the prospects are, and that includes the tight end position. Most, from what I've been told by an executive, is wide receivers and tight ends, those are the positions you better draft them and expect them to be players after year 2, because year 1, the transition's a little too hard.
Well, a couple days away from the draft, the smoke screens are now in full effect, by the way. Adam Schefter just tweets out, just to add a bit more murkiness to the top of the draft, one NFL executive said this morning to him that Baker Mayfield is definitely in the conversation to become the number 1 pick in the draft by Cleveland. Cleveland now throwing all the dice on the board to get everybody scared in the top 5 or top 8 that need a quarterback. We're going to see this, obviously, until Thursday night at 8 o'clock when that first pick is made. How much is this going to scare another team in Arizona, Buffalo, or someone now to try to get up into that Giants pick at 2?
That smoke screen is basically everybody's trying to trade with the Giants to get Baker Mayfield. Holla at us, because we might take him too. Yeah. So, that's basically, we want this conversation for all these first-round picks that you guys are offering to Giants. If that's what Adam Schefter, this is lion season, man. People are calling for information. People are exchanging information, and everybody's lying to everybody.
Yeah. And Adam's at the top of the list to get used.
Of course.
I like Adam. Yeah. I think he's good. Don't get me wrong. I'm sure he's very good at what he does, and he's always on his phone on TV. So, you know, he's always getting calls and stuff, but I'm also going to that guy anytime I want to use somebody for bad information. Right.
It's all good in this game, man. You'll be amazed. And that's the thing. When you're in this industry, you got to be able to give them something, to get something. And so I'll get calls about, you know, last week I got a call. Vita Vea is going to be the number 11 pick. That doesn't mean it's correct. information, but, you know, people share that information with you and in order to get something and in order to get something out there. And, you know, it like, I remember the Juwan James year that got passed out there, and I was just like, there's no way they're going to select this second round offensive tackle in the first round. And lo and behold,
yeah,
sometimes that information is accurate.
Hey, Omar, I always wonder with all this stuff that's going on, would you take the Washington defensive tackle? Would you take him with the first pick?
I wouldn't be happy with it, but depending on how the board falls, yes, I would take him with the first round pick. I don't think he's the best defensive tackle in the draft. A lot of people say that he is, but I like the Alabama defensive tackle, Payne. That to me, Deron Payne, I know,
yeah, he's a big, strong dude. Yeah.
He's a big, strong dude, but he's kind of a Jared Audrick type of defensive lineman. I know that's not a great fit for Miami, but to me, I want the better player. And Vita Vea, I would second guess whether he can play 25 snaps. I just don't think he has the conditioning to play more than 25 snaps. So I wouldn't want that with the first round pick. And I know for a fact that Chris Brewer takes snap counts into consideration with the first, with all of it, with, when he's putting together his board.
Hey, Omar, I think we all agree the Dolphins are going to take a quarterback someplace before mm-hmm. the end of the draft. So give me a name or a couple names people could be looking at that, if it's not that top tier of five or six guys, who could be on their board?
Well, Mike White, Western Kentucky, he was a guy from university school, so clearly he's familiar with Davie facility, considering university school's right next to the Dolphins training facility. He had a very productive career at Western Kentucky, and he really impressed me at the Senior Bowl. I think he's got some poise. He's got arm accuracy. The only question I have is I think he took a lot of sacks. Luke Falk from Washington State, another young player who's pretty productive. I think he would be a good fit for them. And then Kyle Laletta. That's one of the three names that really is a good consideration for them. But, you know, I'm not a huge fan of Mason Rudolph, who will probably be there in the second. Some people are saying he's going to be the sixth quarterback selected in the first round, which is a possibility. But that's only because teams can have the fifth-year option on him if they take him in the first round. But I don't think I'm not a big fan of his. I watched a lot of his film, and I think he's a product of those wide receivers that he was taking. But I think third or fourth round is probably the where the Dolphins target to select a quarterback if they are not in position to get one of the top four.
Do we cross any positions off the list in that first two rounds, unless there's someone there that just blows the socks off one of these executives for the Dolphins, I mean, in drafting-wise, position-wise, are we crossing any of those positions off the list?
Defensive end.
Okay.
That's one. Defensive end.
Wide receiver?
The wide receiver. I'm not a fan of any of these wide receivers. Okay. I wouldn't. And running back. I think that there are going to be some good running backs that are available all throughout this draft. I think if that's probably to me the deepest position. So if you don't have to take one early, you'll be in position to take a good one early. But but you don't have to take one early in the first or second round. You can wait until the fourth and get a good player like Mark Walton.
All right, Omar Kelly, Thursday is the draft. I'm sure you'll have a lot to do before then and a lot to talk about that night as well. And there might be a game six for the Heat also, so good luck with that also. Are you on any
Omar
of the draft
coverage?
Omar
doesn't have time to worry about that Heat stuff.
He's a Heat fan. He's watching the Heat also. Come on, man.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I'm a huge Heat fan. So, I won't be watching it if they continue to play on Thursday, but I love the Heat. That's what got me into sports writing.
No. I know you like the Heat, but not Thursday. You got other stuff.
Got other stuff.
You
got to worry
about. Figure out how you're doing that mock draft.
Yeah, that's it.
We're actually doing a live show for QAM, and I think it'll be the first time we've we were cross talk with a 790 host. Chris Perkins.
You're going to be with your buddy all night, or is he midnight now? He's slowed down a little bit.
He's slowed down.
Health purposes, he's slowed down a little bit.
He's like 10 a.m. now. He's slowed down. You know he's got a living girlfriend, right?
What?
Wow.
Yeah.
Play the breaking news, Ben.
Boy, I got to tell you, Perk was a hard catch there for a long time.
Oh, no, no.
He had some pretty little ladies and just could not say, you know, I do.
Oh, hell no. Yeah. He's never going to say that I do. He let her know it's on the table. It's not on the table.
Wow, and, did he really?
All night, yeah. Man.
Perkins well, all night.
Legend. Baby. Legend.
All night's gone then. That's that, a legend. That nickname is history.
Wow, he's got a living girlfriend now. You got to be careful. All right, Omar, we'll talk to you again this week. Otherwise, we'll have a big draft coverage Thursday night. I'll talk about that
Thanks,
in a second.
Omar.
Thanks, Omar.
All right, guys.
All right, well, WQAM Big Five Run present football draft night. That is this Thursday at Dave & Buster's in the Oakwood Plaza in Hollywood starting at 8 p.m. Brought to you by Big Five Rum, Florida made, Cuba inspired, by Palm Beach Harley, your number one draft choice, and by Lexus of North Miami. Always an amazing deal. Radio.com.
Radio.com. Human nature, any guy that's down 3-0, 3-1, human nature is for you to doubt. It's going to be human nature. And anybody say they don't doubt, they're lying. It's going to be a moment of doubt, second of doubt. But you get over it. You understand that you still have life, you still have another opportunity. And, you know, you want to do what you can to win each possession, to win each quarter. And at the end of the game, you want to be able to win the game.
Yeah, we have confidence in it. Last time we was up there, we left out with a win. And we approached the game the right way. And like I said, they even played better than us in that fourth quarter, but we figured out ways to win the game. We made more plays than them.
All right, Dwayne Wade talking about, hey, being down 3-1, going to Philadelphia. Trying to figure out how to close this game out and finish strong in the fourth. And there's going to be some negative thoughts because you're down so much, but they will pass and everything else. We're trying to figure out who shows up tonight with a big game. Josh Richardson, shoulder, got a shoulder sprain right now. He's questionable. And then on top of that, all the other guys that haven't done much. That you hope you can get going tonight. Tyler Johnson, by the way, at the top of that list of what happened to that guy. Oh my God,
he's been missing the series.
That is that's a rough one. And then of course, always going on about Hassan Whiteside and his numbers and what might happen tonight going against Embiid and everything else. So that'll be an interesting. And then Wayne Ellington. Need to hit some big threes, man. He is he's their three-point shooter. He's the main guy. And I always feel like Dragic's going to play pretty well. James Johnson's probably a good chance he's going to have a good, solid game. Then what's Dwayne do? Dwayne's had two really good fourth quarters. We've seen him just
one
tear it up.
Lost the other one.
25 and 28. Yeah, he had 12 the last game. It wasn't enough for the Heat to win that game. So we'll see what happens tonight and everything else. We've got the draft Thursday coming up, first round of the draft. We're going to have Eric Reed, play-by-play broadcaster. The Miami Heat's going to join us, by the way, coming up in about 15 minutes from now. And will this be his last game of the year, or will they keep it going, man? Do you have any kind of feel that whether they can win this game tonight?
I don't know. I mean, Philly could close out the series at home. Embiid's first playoff game at home. There's definitely going to be a lot of juice in the air there in Philadelphia. Yeah, the Heat are a huge underdog tonight. I think I saw in Vegas they're like a double-digit underdog in this
game.
Are
they really?
Tonight. Yeah, so Vegas doesn't think the Heat have a chance tonight to win this game. I don't know. I think it depends on if you're going to get that game from one of these other guys on the Heat team. Like, if it's going to be, like, your choice of Wayne Ellington, if it's going to be Kelly Olynyk for me, if Hassan Whiteside wakes up tonight and puts on a little bit of a show.
We got to stop with that.
I know, but it's still going to be something we bring up because of the fact that this guy's an impact on this team, and he's been no impact in the series. I know last game a lot of people were texting in, but he had a double-double, and he played better than Embiid. No, Embiid's impact on the game was so much different. Yeah, he didn't shoot that great, but he got to the free throw line a dozen times and hit 10 of them.
Don't compare those two
guys right now. There's
nothing.
No comparison. There's
nothing.
With that. No.
Nothing to even mention those two guys together.
And you got
to
play some defense in the fourth quarter because the fourth quarter has been the quarter that literally has ended all these games for the Heat. And they just cannot play in the fourth quarter. They have three good quarters, sometimes very good, competitive, where it comes down to, I think the Heat were up four going into last game in the fourth quarter. And look what happens. So, yeah, you need something to happen different tonight. I don't know what it's going to be. I think we know we're going to get from Goran. We get it every night. Like you said, James Johnson, we kind of get it every night. Is Tyler Johnson going to wake up into this series? Is Wayne Ellington going to have one of these big games? I know we keep saying Hassan's name, but we still need something from him in this series, but who else is going to step up? And are we going to get a 25-point performance from Wade and lose the game?
Well, all that stuff will be answered tonight. We'll find out if they're going to be coming home, and we're going to be talking about a game six on Thursday night as well. And it'd get interesting. You get this thing back home all of a sudden. That would make it. But you do. Listen, Philly's in great shape. They know they've got this insurance game tonight. If they don't, our insurance game on in game seven, if they don't win tonight, and if they can't close it out down here. So, but I agree. They're going to be tough tonight. They've won 19 of 20 games so far, going way back. So they've been really, really good to this point, and got a lot of they just got a better team. I mean, you need everything to go well when you're playing against a team that the first thing you start with, their two young guys are better than any players you have anywhere in this team that doesn't have star power but plays great. Matter of fact, I'm watching NBA TV, and they called the Heat last night, well-coached, a hard-working team. But then they went on to talk about they just don't have the star power, especially when you got two bigs that are really talented that can dominate with that group that they have with them. It just puts added pressure. You're well coached. You follow your game plan. You work hard. You get after people, but you just don't have the same talent. And anyway, that was
when they roll out their lineup and you roll out yours. They have the two best players on the court. The only thing you have going for you is you have a bunch of good role players on this Heat team that could give you good nights. The difference also is in this. Is that Philly's role players are playing really well, too. One night it's J.J. Redick. One night it's Bellinelli. Like, every night they're getting something from someone else. Yeah, they have a good – right now the rotation for them is great. The rotation for the Heat, I don't know what's going on with it because you're not getting much out of Whiteside. You're not getting much out of Tyler Johnson. And both those guys are starting for you.
Hey, just switching over some of these stories. There's going to be a bunch of stuff coming out in the NFL over the next 24 hours before we get to this NFL draft and who everybody's interested in. And you better jump up if you want to make an offer, and because this guy's going early, and if you really like him, you better get in the game. So there's going to be a lot of false information out there.
Like the new one from this morning, because we haven't really heard Baker Mayfield's name come up with that number one overall pick. And now someone leaked to Schefter this morning, just to add a bit more murkiness to the top of the draft, one NFL exec said this morning that Baker Mayfield is definitely, in quotes, in Cleveland's conversation to become the number one overall pick.
I would be really surprised.
Me too.
That would really surprise me.
But will that scare a team to move up quickly?
I think the teams are going to move up anyway. I think they're just going back and forth negotiating on cost to move up. And
how much does that scare the Jets if the Jets really want Baker Mayfield at 3? You think it scares them enough to make another deal to move up to 1?
No, I think they just play BS on this and go, we're staying where we are. Okay. We can get a lot of good players.
Well, any of those quarterbacks, if you're a 3, you're going to get one of them.
So they're counting on they got to have a 1A and 1B that they like a lot, so they figure they're in good shape. That's why they moved up there, knowing that these kind of things could happen. So we'll find out how that one all plays out. By the way, the Baker Mayfield stories coming out are just unbelievable. This is one of my favorite stories. So when Baker Mayfield obviously turned pro, all the agents started calling, right? All the agents, hey, you know, love to represent you and love to do you as a first-round quarterback, love to be your guy and everything else. So he gets a call from Buss Cook, who's a big agent.
Huge agent.
Got a lot of coaches, by the way, a lot of college and pro coaches. He's got some players.
He inducted Brett Favre into the Hall of Fame.
So he's been around a long time doing this stuff. And so he starts his conversation, gets on the phone with Baker Mayfield, and starts by going, hey, I know, you know, you got recruited by Bob Stoops. And he hung up the phone. He didn't even let him finish. As soon as he said that, Baker Mayfield realized Buss Cook didn't do his homework and didn't realize Bob Stoops never recruited Baker Mayfield. He walked on at Texas Tech and basically had enough confidence to walk on to Oklahoma and say, hey, give me a chance. I'll walk on and earn my scholarship. And he did, of course. And
don't you have to do your homework a little more than that, though? Don't you have a guy that does your homework?
Honestly, Buss Cook's a lazy ass. That was a real lazy thing to do, and that story's now leaked out, makes Bus Cook look like
makes him look
complete
bad.
Idiot. And I mean, I would have hung up on the guy too.
I said the same thing. I mean, I'm guessing this, Joe. You're Bus Cook, and we work for Bus Cook's company. And you're telling me right now you're sitting down and you're calling the top five guys, all the quarterbacks. You're calling them all right now. There is going to be sheets of paper that I'm going to be doing, that Danny's going to be doing, getting you ready for these calls. You're calling Baker now. Here's the bullet points on Baker. This is what happened here. This is what happened with his family. This is his dad's name, this and that, just so you have it for your smart. You're telling me that he didn't have one of those sheets, or he didn't have some notes in front of him, and he just came up? Because when you start off a conversation with totally wrong information, I don't blame Baker. Now, it sounds a little kind of uppity on Baker to just hang up on someone like that, but at that point, what do you care?
You hang around Baker a little bit, and you realize, yeah, he just got no time for it. Look, and I'm sure you're a great agent, and you represent, and I'm guessing he was representing Bob Stoops before he retired.
I'm sure
he
was.
The Oklahoma coach.
I can imagine.
So he tried that quick bonding move of like, yeah, you know, Bob's my guy. And he said, you know, we had a great relationship, worked with him for the last 10 years and a couple of contracts, loved it. And as soon as he mentioned, I know he recruited you, and I think the world of him like you do, and realized he didn't recruit him. And the kid hung up on him. That's awesome.
Bad. That's bad.
How many times does somebody hang up on Bus Cook?
I mean, probably not that many times.
Very funny.
Yeah, especially in this kind of – because Bus Cook's name is one of those names when you talk about NFL agents. Drew's up there. Lee Steinberg's even up there. Bus Cook's name's right up in there.
Yeah. Well, Bus Cook got into the NFL coach and college coaches. He's got
smart
a lot.
Smart too, yeah.
A lot of those top guys. He's representing a lot of guys between $3 and $8-9 million a year coaches. Which is not bad, though. Not bad at all. Hey, we got a lot more coming up. Eric Reed, we're going to head on to Philadelphia. Eric Reed's got the game tonight. He's going to join us. We'll talk about what it's going to take for the Miami Heat to get a win. Stay with us. We'll have that coming up next. But first,
Radio.com. Radio.com.
Huge Heat game tonight. Hopefully not the end of the season tonight. That's what we're hoping for. We're hoping for a Heat win tonight. Bring it back here for game 6. We're going to talk to Eric Reed coming up next. He always appears here on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Toyota of Hollywood has moved 2 blocks south of their old location. Get there now. E. Reed, good morning. How are you?
Doing well, gentlemen. Getting ready for this. They can't get by quick enough to get, get to this fifth game, man.
You can only break these things down so many ways.
Right,
so let me ask you, you got to live these stats and keys. Give me a couple for you tonight, living this thing up close. What are you looking for some keys if the Heat are going to end up winning one of these tight ball games?
Win the fourth quarter. How about that to start with?
That's good.
They've been outscored by 41 points in the 3 losses. That's almost 14 points a game in the fourth quarter. They've been outscored in all 4 second halves. You know what conclusion you would come to if that happens again? That the Sixers are the better team, because that's decision time. Though that is the money time. And I'll tell you the truth, Joe. You got to give Philadelphia some credit. Certain things have held the form. If you look at their regular season stats, number one in the NBA in rebound margin, number one in the NBA in overall rebounds, number one in the NBA in field goal percentage defense, number one in the NBA in opponents' points in the paint. When they have anteed up their defensive intensity in the fourth quarter, the Heat's execution has not been up to par, and they've really struggled. So you've got to do that. You know, the Sixers have had 17 offensive rebounds in 3 of the 4 games. You've got to limit that. And Miami, listen, we don't know if Josh Richardson's going to be available to play or how well he could play with that injured shoulder. So you need a maximum effort and one of those maximum performances from everybody else.
All right, I know it's kind of like beating the drum here. Hassan Whiteside, need a bigger game from him.
I'm bringing up a couple names,
not just his. Relax. Hassan Whiteside, Tyler Johnson, got to get a little bit of a bigger impact from both those guys tonight too, right?
No question. Tyler Johnson's had a very quiet series. You know, he shot well, 47%, but he's only played 16 minutes a game. He didn't score in the last game. Neither did Kelly Olynyk, whose numbers, you know, started great, the 26 points in game one. It's been a really dramatic decline since. For Whiteside, I thought he played a very good game on Saturday afternoon. 13 points, 13 rebounds. I thought he battled Embiid the way he should have battled Embiid in the game prior. But it's not just about Hassan. You know, listen, he's got to play the kind of game he's capable of. There's no excuses tonight. There's no startup time to get your motor revved. You're going to have to come out and overcome the intensity of a home Philadelphia crowd that has not seen a playoff victory in a series since 2012. You think they're going to be hungry, but if you can offset the early emotion, you got to play with great poise, and you got to have one of those magical road games. We've been this way before, guys. Four times in Heat history, the Heat have trailed in a series 3-1. One time in 1997, the Heat became one of just 11 teams to overcome a 3-1 deficit to win a series. Everybody remembers that was the first of four playoff series in a row against the Knicks, and the only one the Heat won. But tonight, it's not about winning a series. It's simply about winning game to stay alive and bring it back home.
All right, let me ask you, since we brought up Hassan Whiteside, give me the Eric Reed stat sheet that you'd like to read after the game that's realistic. Because you've seen him stuffed. You've seen all kinds of stat sheets with this guy. Give me one you'd like to see tonight when you're looking at your stats after the game.
30 minutes played. How about that?
30 minutes.
I like
good.
It.
Not
four fouls. I just want to see Whiteside get a chance to really compete, stay away from those fouls that don't have any consequence to the game. If you're going to use fouls, use them in a physical and strong way. I'd like to see him be able to play 30, 34 minutes of this game. I don't know if that'll happen, but I don't think it's all going to come down to Hassan Whiteside tonight. If it does, the Heat are in trouble. They need it from Whiteside. They need it from everybody else. You know, maybe the 76ers, listen, their inexperience has not shown up yet in this series. Maybe it will. Maybe it won't. It hasn't yet. Maybe it will tonight with a 3-1 lead. Their margin of victory. Listen, they offensively, what they've done in this series, it's really mind-boggling. And their three wins, guys, they're averaging 121 points and 14 threes a game. I mean, that would be the greatest offensive series, ever against Miami in the playoffs. They've been the best offensive team so far in these playoffs. And, I don't want to do what I see, happening around me everywhere. Everybody overreacts to the result of the last playoff game they just saw. But I've been watching the entire playoffs, especially the East. To me, Philadelphia looks like the strongest team in the Eastern Conference. They've got size. They've got excellent defense and rebounding. They got five guys averaging over 18 points a game in this series. I think they have what it takes to make it back to the NBA Finals for the first time since 2001 if they get by Miami. And I'm going to go back to a quote from Ben Simmons, one of the most telling quotes I've seen in this series. He said it Saturday afternoon after the game. He said, there's no other team like Miami in these playoffs that's that physical. Simmons said, I think after this series, we'll be ready for anything.
I hope
it's not a postscript, but I think it is accurate. Although when you watch Utah play last night against Oklahoma City, that was some really physical and intense defense. And guys, that's the playoffs, but you got to combine that with timely offense. And that's what's really hurt Miami. They've been in every one of these games in the fourth quarter. And then there's been that breaking point. People want to talk about a lot of things in this series. I think one of the biggest statistical things I've seen was Joel Embiid with three of his five blocks in the fourth quarter of game four on Saturday afternoon. They have slammed the door closed on the defensive end against Miami in the fourth quarter of this series.
How about this, Eric? With all that said, we could wipe it all out if this team just shot 18-25 from the free throw line instead of 13-25 in the last game, and we'd be talking about a 2-2 series.
Yeah, certainly the Heat had their opportunities. And, it started out, the way that game started out, it was crazy because I just want to look back at my chart. Miami missed five of their first six from the line.
Jeez.
Five of their first six. So it wasn't like they just waited till the end to start, banging free throws off the rim. So it was unfortunate. You never want to lose a playoff game because you've missed free throws with nobody guarding you. It was a factor. I don't think it's the only factor. I think the Sixers' defense in the fourth quarter, as much of a factor as the missed free throws, but you can't do that. You can't leave that many points off the scoreboard at the free throw line in a series that I want to say is this close. Even though the average margin of defeat has not been good, Miami has been in all of these games right until the end.
Eric, you know what surprised me? You brought up a little bit. You touched on this earlier. They don't have a lot of experience, especially those two young guys, the two best players in this series. And I thought, you know, it's always interesting to see how people are going to play in the playoffs. It's completely different. We always talk about the experience factor. My God, these guys, nothing's been too big for this team, especially the way they've been able to come back like a veteran team. For me, that's been the biggest surprise.
Yeah, you're right, Joe. It hasn't shown up yet. Maybe it will if they advance, you know, later in the playoffs. It hasn't yet. And then you watch Donovan Mitchell, the other Rookie of the Year candidate. I mean, here you got Paul George, Carmelo Anthony, and Russell Westbrook on the other team. And this rookie out of Louisville is by far the best player in that series. So I'll tell you one thing that trumps playoff experience, talent.
Yeah. You know, never overlook that.
Right?
I am with you, and never overlook the talent. By the way, Paul George, if he loses one more game, there's no way he's staying in Oklahoma City with that group. And that choking Carmelo, 5 of 18 last night. I had to say that.
Yeah, he did not look good. Oh. He did not look good. But, you know, for the Sixers, here's where the maturity issue will come into play, Joe and Zach, if they get by Miami, is understanding – that, you know, they've got a great future, or so we all think. You know, we've seen things veer off track before, but the future for them is the present. It's right now, because I think the Eastern Conference is as wide open as it's been in a long time, and that's the way they've got to think. They've got to have that killer instinct and the desire to get it done right now, because, you know, if they can continue to play like they've played, and I don't want to hoist up any flags of concession yet. This series is not over, but the 76ers, they got to focus in on the night, but they should have big dreams and big hopes right now for the Heat. Listen, it's win one game,
right?
Bring it home, keep the coach sitting right along my side. We're not ready for the season to end, and I don't think the Heat are either. If they're going to go down, you know, right now I'm taking inspiration out of what happened at that Waffle House in Tennessee. What that young man did, who's being called a hero, he said, if that guy was going to kill me, he's going to have to earn it. Okay. In a basketball parlance, it's the same thing. If you're going to go down, you're going to go down fighting. You're going to go down like warriors, and you're going to go right down to the final second and just play your heart out and see where it all ends sometime 10:30, 11 o'clock tonight.
Eric, hopefully in 60 hours from now, you are actually calling a Heat game and not talking about who the Jets just drafted number 3 overall. But we are going to be in the draft night, hopefully during a game 6 also. You still feeling confident in the Jets at 3 or what?
I knew you guys were going to bring that up. Listen, I would so
it's the only question on my list for you.
Let your Jets colors come out.
I would so much rather be broadcasting game 6
of course.
than hiding under my couch at home watching the NFL draft.
Baker Mayfield?
Listen, it's the roulette wheel of quarterbacks. Here's the thing, guys. The only thing we're going to know on draft night is who goes where.
That's
but in
it.
Terms of who's going to be successful,
no.
We're going to have to wait till August to start to find that out. And you learn that pretty darn quickly.
You know what? You sound about as beaten up as we are, being Dolphin guys.
That's
you
right.
know what? It's amazing how that works. When the draft, you're like, oh, God, we draft this guy. I hope he works out, man.
And the higher you draft, the more pressure is
that's
on
right.
that pick. And especially, Joe, we've talked about this before, especially when you're selecting quarterbacks, I don't think there is a harder transition or a more difficult position to predict future success than college quarterback to professional quarterback.
Eric, thank you, buddy. Great having you, man. Good luck tonight. We'll talk to you later.
Thank you, gentlemen. Always a pleasure, man.
Eric Reed.
He's a man. He is something else.
Heat voice, Jets fan. Going to be just as bothered by the draft on Thursday as hopefully we
You ready for Rebecca Harlow?
I am.
NBA
talk some more hoops,
TNT
man.
Sideline reporter will join us as she's got the sideline. She got to deal with those coaches on the side there, huh? Waiting for that one. Never know. I wonder how that works out. We'll talk to her about all that stuff coming up, and more on tonight's game with Rebecca coming up in just a few minutes.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.